just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
Thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. As I record this on Labor Day, I popped in the Hooters on Gandy Boulevard in South Tampa briefly for the LSU-FSU Who Wants It Less game on Sunday night. OriginalHooters.com is where you find the location closest to you in the Tampa Bay area or for easy online ordering from any of those locations. Thank you to Hooters. This is Season 7, Episode 27 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. That is where I will personally answer your fantasy questions. On Instagram, ToddWright2121, Twitter, ToddWright2121, if you want to follow along there as well. In Episode 26, I recap the early rounds to mid rounds of the Fantasy Football Foundation draft to give you an idea of another draft and how that would go, to give you third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and on opinions of other drafts, where players are falling, etc., and what I did in the Foundation League. What I'll do today, because as of the time of this broadcast, the Fantasy Football Federation draft, aka the podcast league, has not taken place. I will recap that in our next episode. In the meantime, I'm going to use the draft results from the foundation to further identify players that are not on my draft board, players I have no interest in drafting, simplifying the process, and run through those reasons. Some may surprise you if you've been listening to the previous 26 episodes of this podcast this season. Some of these will feel repetitive, but it's basically a cheat sheet of players, in my opinion, that I'm not drafting, and I need to see a lot from them on the field this year in terms of production before I admit that the pick was a wise one, and then I can go out, if I choose to do so, and try to acquire that player via trade, or if he happens to get cut for some reason, on waivers. Now, I'm just going to play off the higher they were drafted in terms of the names, and the highest one drafted that I had no interest in terms of the draft process, is Run CMC. Personally, I've always been a fan of Christian McCaffrey. I am a bit jaded from his injury in 2020 that significantly cost me in one of my fantasy leagues. And we've all been there with a player who lets you down and you just move on from him. It's better to do it that way, just like a relationship. Move on, don't backslide. That's part of it. The other part of it is McCaffrey has been injured for all or parts of the last two seasons, and I have no faith in the current head coach of the Carolina Panthers, who is the odds-on favorite to be fired first this year in the National Football League. So until McCaffrey stays healthy for 2 months and is not coached by Matt Rhule, I don't have any interest in that player. Let's go down to Alvin Kamara, and I talked in a previous podcast about the numbers on Alvin Kamara and the obvious trend downward the more he's used. And that was also with a subtraction of Drew Brees a year ago, and this year you subtract Sean Payton. I don't like what those numbers say, how he had more rushing touchdowns in the 2020 Christmas Miracle game against the Vikings than he had all of 2021, despite being given more opportunities than ever before to carry the ball, and his catches were down. Not interested in Alvin Kamara based on all of those factors. Not interested in CeeDee Lamb. I know this would surprise some of you who actually appreciate the fact that I'm a longtime fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I want CeeDee Lamb to do well, but and also remember, I openly say I separate my two most important teams every week in pro football are my fantasy team and the Dallas Cowboys. So if the Cowboys stink, I don't want it to sink my fantasy team. So I limit myself to one Cowboy rostered player on any of my fantasy teams. In the Foundation League, that's Dalton Schultz, because I feel he holds value as a top six wide receiver tight end flex. CeeDee Lamb, to me, needs to prove that he can make the transition from a wide receiver two with very talented pass catchers around him in that huddle in Dallas to the number one guy. He's a very talented receiver. However, there is a long history of wide receivers who try to make the transition to being a wide receiver one on their particular team, or by changing teams and signing somewhere else as a free agent, and they cannot do it. They were better off as a wide receiver two and more of a complementary piece. Defenses play you differently. You perhaps are used different schematically. The expectations are different. There's a lot of factors here, and not all wide receivers can do it. I need to see Lamb do it before I anoint him a wide receiver one. So I'm not interested in drafting CeeDee Lamb. Moving down through, Saquon Barkley was the next off the board in my draft that I had absolutely no interest in. And the owner in my foundation league who drafted him knows I had no interest in him. This isn't an implication. It's my opinion. Again, I don't pick your starters. I don't make your draft picks. You don't pick my starters. You don't pick my draft picks. We share opinions. Saquon Barkley essentially is Christian McCaffrey, and Christian McCaffrey is Saquon Barkley. I was burned by Saquon Barkley 3 years ago due to an injury. There's actually more of an injury history there with Barkley than with McCaffrey. Yes, I like Brian Daboll as a first-time head coach. I don't know if it's going to work in New York. Nothing seems to be working in New York for any of the major professional sports teams. The Giants were the last major professional sports team in the Big Four leagues to win a championship, and that was Super Bowl 46. Since then, they've gone to one playoff game, and they lost that playoff game by, I think, 21 to the Packers. Daboll is not going to call plays offensively to start the season. He's going to have former Northwestern quarterback Mike Kafka as his play caller. That's curious to me, because Daboll got the job based on his play calling. Granted, he was calling them for Josh Allen, and now he has Daniel Jones, and presumably he'll have someone else quarterbacking his team next year. For so many similar reasons to McCaffrey, I have no interest in drafting Saquon Barkley until I see 2 months of productive evidence that every week he can produce fantasy points. And then I'd get interested via trade, probably not going to be on waivers, I get that, or in next year's draft. Let's see here. Now, moving through the fourth round, I don't want Jerry Jeudy. You know, there are other really good people out there. I mentioned Matthew Berry. I like Field Yates. I think Stefania Bell is wonderful. Roto Pat from online via Roto World. There's a Dave Klug on Twitter that I communicated with the other night, who I enjoy. The Jerry Jeudy thing, the whole Denver offense to me has a lot of question marks. New coaching staff, new quarterback. Quarterback 9 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. Two running backs. Two wide receivers who either couldn't stay healthy or just played below expectations. I don't know what to make of Denver, and probably the guy I'm least likely of those five names I gave you, the quarterback, the two wide receivers, and the two running backs, Jeudy is the one more than any of them I have no interest in drafting. I have no interest in drafting Josh Jacobs. I have owned him in previous years, and he's been wonderful. Got me a lot of short yardage touchdowns, played through injuries. Early down back for John Gruden, who used the hell out of him. I don't know what the plan is for Jacobs going forward. I wonder, has he aged physically significantly based on his John Gruden usage, and something isn't there anymore? Will Josh McDaniels still use him in short yardage situations, always in early down situations, red zone situations, especially now that they have Devontae Adams? And Darren Waller said they actually have a plan to use him more at the tight end position. They have one of the very talented Georgia running backs in Zamir White that could play a role. Abdullah, I don't know. It seems like every year you hear a little, not every year, buzz about Abdullah and nothing comes of it. But Zamir White, let's wait and see. I'm not interested in drafting Josh Jacobs for all of those reasons. The next name I wouldn't draft is DJ Moore for a lot of the same reasons I wouldn't touch Christian McCaffrey. Matt Rhule, DJ Moore could have a different quarterback throwing to him every 3 to 4 weeks. We can't rule out Cam Newton's going to quarterback this team at some point again this year. We can't. Matt Rhule, just go back through all the quarterbacks he's brought into that quarterback room over the years. Darnold's not healthy enough to start the season. Baker Mayfield is there. Who knows? I like him the first week in a payback situation. I don't know about after that. There's still P.J. Walker, who was June Jones's quarterback with the XFL Houston franchise. The rookie they drafted, Corral, already injured. Yeah, I owned DJ Moore for a time last year. Too inconsistent. And it's not him. It's the quarterback play and the head coach that really bother me. Next on my list, I can't draft J.K. Dobbins. Right? Is it just next man up with that Baltimore offense? Other than Mark Andrews, is there anything in the Ravens offense you can really count on when putting together your fantasy draft? And we'll get to the quarterback coming up. I can't invest in Dobbins because of the nature of the juggle of running backs that seems to be consistently in play in Baltimore. And the fact that if he's 100% healthy, the most likely person to run the ball in Baltimore is the guy who takes the snap. I can't draft Alan Lazard. I don't think Green Bay has anything close to Devontae Adams. Lazard seems to be, in fantasy drafts, the one that people are saying, well, he'll get the ball the way Adams... No, he won't. And you know what I said about CeeDee Lamb going from a wide receiver two to a wide receiver one? I'm not convinced Alan Lazard was a wide receiver two. He was sort of an inconsistent wide receiver three-ish who would have a key play or a good game every month. And then you pick him up off waivers and you play him, and for the next two games he doesn't do shit for you. I can't project a significant role and production for Alan Lazard. I think Rodgers and him would have been more consistent in previous years if Lazard was that good. I'm not interested in DK Metcalf because of the quarterbacks in Seattle. Metcalf is a freakish athlete. He is a wide receiver too, based on production from previous years. Until Seattle gets a real quarterback, I don't know that anyone on the current roster can get Metcalf the ball enough. I think it's going to frustrate him. It could become a distraction. Not interested. Lamar Jackson did an entire podcast why I'm not interested in Lamar Jackson, a pick I made last year that I won in spite of. To me, the league has figured Lamar Jackson out, and perhaps John Harbaugh has figured out he can't do any more with Lamar Jackson. He can't teach him any new tricks. He can't adjust the offense anymore for Lamar Jackson. This is it. This is what you got. Touchdown passes have dropped by 10 each. Over the last 3 years, he's gone from 36 touchdowns passing to 26 to 16. He seems to get banged up quicker. He only had two rushing touchdowns. He didn't have a rushing touchdown after week two last year. My theory on that is he injured himself on a stupid flip on a national TV game into the end zone on a game-clinching touchdown. Mark Andrews is his safety net. He thrives on broken plays. His throwing motion still is very questionable. I think we've seen the best of Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have a new contract. I've been saying, if anyone in the Ravens organization asks me, you don't throw $200 million at this as your future franchise quarterback. Let him play for what he's making and go from there. Don't commit. He is trending downward. Not interested in Damian Pierce. Florida Gator players are 4 for 65 since Mike Pouncey in terms of making Pro Bowls. Pierce is also on a bad team coached by loser Lovie Smith. No interest there. Adam Thielen, owned him in past years. Personally, I really like Adam Thielen. I know he is a big play and a red zone guy for the Vikings and for Kirk Cousins, and they now have more of an offensive-minded head coach running three wide receiver sets. Matt Bowen, who I used to have on my national show, had a theory recently on how the Vikings will evolve offensively, and I found it interesting. He said because they'll run more three wide receiver sets, it will benefit Justin Jefferson. I don't know that it benefits Adam Thielen, and Thielen has a recent injury history over multiple years. I'm not interested. Not interested in Antonio Gibson, who might have been cut had it not been for the unfortunate off-the-field incident involving Alabama running back Brian Robinson. That shows Washington was down on him. They need him now, but I think the staff had already made up their mind on Gibson, and that doesn't change. His playing time may change. His roster status may change. But if they were down on him, I'm down on him. Brandon Ayuk, and I've invested in many 49ers recently because of Kyle Shanahan running that offense. But with new quarterback, you know, Ayuk to me just always seems like a guy who's going to disappoint you. And when you think of key plays that have been made by the Niners the last 3 years as they've gone to a Super Bowl, and then I think they drafted him after that, but even the NFC title game last year, I can't give you big moments for Ayuk. I can for Eli Mitchell or George Kittle or Jimmy G or Deebo Samuel. Not Ayuk. Let's see if I can give you one more. Yeah, I'm not touching Damian Harris, even though he had, what, 11? 10 or 11 rushing touchdowns last year. Again, I'm shying away from virtually every member of the New England Patriots offense because, in general, other than Tom Brady being under center and now Mac Jones being under center, you don't know from week to week. There is no discernible real pattern for who produces fantasy points from the New England Patriots offense. Harris has some issues with fumbling. There's probably some natural reason to believe there's regression in those rushing touchdowns. Those who cover the Patriots hear and see more good things from Ramondre Stevenson in terms of early down work. Harris may not be someone who touches the ball as much as he did last year. And I'll give you one more. Michael Thomas. Oh, I'll give you two more. Michael Thomas just hasn't played enough the last couple of years. Drew Brees isn't his quarterback anymore. Sean Payton isn't calling the plays anymore. No thanks. And Miles Sanders. Mm-mm. I mean, even my Eagle homers in the Foundation League didn't touch Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has had plenty of opportunities to take a lead share of touches in the Eagles' backfield. And here we are. And I don't know that he is someone you can roll out any particular week at this point and feel comfortable about him touching the ball enough and getting you double-digit fantasy points as a running back for the Eagles, especially with Jalen Hurts and his 10 rushing touchdowns under center. Remember, the Eagles also quickly brought in Trey Sermon when he was cut by John Lynch in San Francisco. Of note, you can still see it on NBCSportsEdge.com. Peter King reported Trey Sermon was going to be fine and still be the number two back to Eli Mitchell in San Francisco. Nice job, Peter. Wrong. Very wrong. Okay, that's enough for now. Again, my email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is episode 27, season 7, and we'll talk to you probably again in the next 24, 48 hours.